அந்த பிராந்திய உறவு not forsaking. Jesus taketh from him Peter, James, and John, all of you. And he was Christ's figure before them. What did he see in the Holy Ghost? He had a preview, a foreview of the coming kingdom. They saw the King in his glory. It is significant that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all write the message, and none of them were there. Peter, James, and John were there. Neither James nor John ever mentioned it. And only 50 years later, Peter makes mention of it. And the high mount has now become a holy mount. The mountain stands for Jesus. What did they see? They saw the King of Israel. Thank God is the man who is there today. The man who God has made strong with himself. And as I've been underlined, he is going to be a kingdom established, a universal dominion, and that his kingdom is for people. You know, I was delighted to see a brief of four accounts of the Holy Mount, what they were considering. This is his countenance, his reign, his garments, his glory, his deceit, his battle. Nothing. They were occupied with trust, and he saw him in his kingdom room. Now, as you come to the scriptures on the end of it, there are two great truths in the Old and the Bible. Kingdom truth and church truth. Kingdom truth is the battle of the Old Testament, but overflows into the New. Church truth is exclusively in the New Testament and is never found in the Old. Now, I want to underline that. Because there is great difficulty in the minds of not a few that the church is the kingdom and the kingdom is the church. The church is exclusively New Testament doctrine, not found in the Old. There was no body on earth until there was a head in heaven. There was no head in heaven until Christ as man sat down at the right hand of God. Look at what Paul will speak of in Ephesians 1. God has raised him. God has saved him. God has saved him to be head over all things in the church, the fullness of him that filleth all of us. So as we approach the book of God, remember, kingdom truth in the Old Testament, church truth in the New Testament. Now there are two things that mark Adam and Paul, which are brought to be reproduced and fulfilled in the same life, the Lord. Number one, he was the possessor of a bride. A bride that existed in the mind and purpose of God before ever she was brought into being. A bride that only came into being through the deep sleep of the man. She was the fruit of the womb of Christ, but before ever she was brought in, she existed in the mind of God. It is not good that a man should be a whole. I will make him a help meet for him. Man, you say that's the New Testament truth. That's church truth. The science of truth. That's church truth. That is truth that is not found in the Old Testament. Such is someone. Have I not read of the church in the Old Testament? Where do you live? You see, it's no Psalms. I've noticed that the heading of the Psalms, the misery of the church, David's glory in the church, the majesty and heaviness of the church. But my young people are no better than us. These are but human heads. And when you read those Psalms, you will find Israel, Zion, Jerusalem. It's a will of the world to look for the church in the Old Testament. God is someone. Now, what is not Adam and Eve a type of the church? Does not Paul use that in Jesus' time? From this Paul shall a man leave father and mother, and so he mother his wife. This is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Well, I see that in Genesis 2. And I come to the business presently, and I think, is that wonderful to see that how the church follows the resurrection of Christ? Even 50 days after. And now I'm going to Joseph had died not wonderful. When Joseph was rejected by his brethren, he received a Gentile bride. A heavenly bride. Zipporah, a little bird, heavenly bride. You say, is that not the church? No, but these are not the patriarchs. Neither Noah, Daniel, nor Saul. Abraham, neither nor Jacob. David or Solomon could look at Genesis 2 and say, what a lovely picture of the church. Why? Because the church of the doctrine is not founded. And these pictures only become intelligible and expressive in the light of New Testament doctrine. It's because we have a New Testament in our hearts that we see those lovely foreshadowing of the church in the Old Testament. And so, we get back to this. Kingdoms in the Old Testament flowing out to the New. Church group exclusively in the New Testament and never found. Now we speak to the last, unfortunately, he was a professor of a that is due to the church of the mystery. The mystery, which was the new God. The mystery is not church. The mystery is not the church. The mystery is Christ and the church, uniting eternal blessedness over the universal man. Not simply over this little planet in which you and I dwell, but over the whole universe. And the ages are, Christ will go to the rich of the ages toward us in Christ Jesus. Number two. Not only was he in possession of a land, he had universal dominion. Everything was under his feet. That's him. That was going to occupy him. Everything was under his feet. True, nay, or little, there was no way to get it. From God's sight, it transferred every color from the Jew to the Gentile, and puts it under the feet of David the Taylor, the first Gentile woman. He included men, but he omitted the official speech. Universal dominion is reserved for one, that one is right. That is time. What is man in the revival of earth? I believe the story was Adam seated before the fall. Thou hast set him over the work of thy hand, thou hast put all things under his feet. But when he said it before, he was due to go to new standards. He has not the first man, but the second man. For where Adam was a man, Adam was not the son of man. He is the right of a man. Concerning that world to come, we have not put it in subjection to angels, but unto a man, the man of stories, God, the dead ruler of the universe. So is the kingdom, and all things to be under the feet. This is what we exactly call the millennium, a statement not found in Scripture. But we do read that he lived and reigned within the 1,000 years. This is what Peter calls in Acts 3 the time of the restitution of all things. This is what the Lord calls in Matthew 19 the regeneration. This is what the Hebrew writer in chapter 2 calls the world or the age to come. Now the age to come is not heaven. The age to come is not eternity. The age to come is the millennial kingdom that's going to be established on this earth. And the root under, not the individual, but the feet of the Son of God. Let us project our minds for a moment to the glorious verses of John 1. And the man called Nathanael had emerged from out under the picture. Now remember, the Pentecostal scripture is always in the mind of Israel. And from under the fig tree, there emerges a man. A foreshadowing of a faithful remnant
that we hear from an apostle. And Jerusalem cried and said, "Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." What is that? My Son, my King, my Holy Ghost. Ask the Lord for that man. There's a few greater things than what would be greater than that? What would be greater than his smashing his enemies with a rod of iron? That is greater than that. Thou shalt see heaven open. The angels of God are ascending and descending upon the Son of God. Universal dominion is prepared. So we come into the Old Testament, into the first book, we have the dawning light of the prophecy. From divine purpose flows promises. From promises flows prophecy. And in the book of Genesis, we have the Lord Christ spoken of as the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham. Now as the seed of the woman, he's going to crush the angelic air of Satan. He's going to let the book of judgment. Not a prophecy, a promise made, it's a prophecy. The seed of the woods, you and I are beginning of the seed of death. The seed of the woods shall bruise the head of death. It is in the masculine and pretends the victory to a man who will bruise the head of the death. Shall bruise thy head, and well shall bruise his feet. Not only is he the seed of the woman, he is the seed of Abraham, and as such we hope to see that all nations shall be blessed through him. This wonderful coming King, under whose feet all things are going to be placed, thou hast put all things under it. Lord, Lord, King of Kings. The glory of the Lord shall come again as the water covers. Now, it was in the morning of his resurrection that from the Lord, the sun and the stars, he said of the things compared to him. Please note the order. The Old Testament order is the law, the sand, and the prophet. But who is the moral? And he presents them in a moral order. The law, the prophet, and the sand. In the law, we learn that man is a sinner, and that he can only approach God through sacrifice. In the prophet, we learn that the true sacrifice would be a heaven. He was created for our transgressions. Away, O Saul, against the shepherd, against the man who is my fellow, is Jehovah. But we must resign. We have the incoming of that time. His death is right to present his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation, his preservation, his coming back in power, and his glory as the Son of Man. And so in a few brief moments, we're going to look to the law, and to the stand, and to the prophet, and to see the majesty of this coming King. Could I think that in someone's mind, then? Church truth, the New Testament. Kingdom truth, the Old Testament. Now, regarding the future advent of our beloved Lord, it is necessary to distinguish between his coming for victory and his coming back to us to subjugate his enemies and to establish his kingdom. If we fail to make a distinction Therefore, I am mountain of this understanding. But if we rightly divide the words of truth, a seeming chaos will be reduced to the divine. The coming of the Lord authority is New Testament doctrine. It's linked to such, therefore it's linked to the man who possesses the right. His coming to subjugate humanity and to establish his kingdom is linked to the Old Testament, therefore it's linked to the man under whose feet all dominion is going to be. That here, it's simple, it's good.
So we move on to the book of
Genesis. And here is Abraham, the way-worn, weary warrior. He's returning to the battle of the church. It is the first recorded battle in the Bible, and it foreshadows the battle, recorded battle, the battle of Adam. And when he comes, here appears a man. Who was a king and a king. Who is this mysterious person? Fatherless, motherless, shiftless, deadless, pedigreeless. What is this? The very truth of Melchizedek, and priest of the Most High God, without father, without mother, without genealogy, without divinity, without any of life.
Made like unto you, the Son of God, a righteous, a free, continuous.
Who is this material then? He appears, he disappears. He is a king,
he said to the Lord.
He is a thief,
he can be your God.
He is a king, he will protect you.
He is a king, he will move himself.
Who is this? Notice. When he appears,
after the overthrow of four world powers, then comes the suffered ministry and refreshment, bread and life, to Abraham and his followers, typical of arrangement in a kingdom.
After the overthrow of four world powers,
I return, have you not taken of Daniel? To that that was thrown cut out of those hands,
who shall smite the feet of that colossal Gentile image, fast and stirring,
remove forever the last venture of Gentile imperialism, and in its place there shall arise a kingdom which shall never be. This king priest is Christ. He is the true religion, that's the father of the Hebrew nation. And he is the solution of God, high peace forever, after the altar of their kingdom.
Of course, Melchizedek had a wife, and he had a mother. He had a birthday, and he had a name. He had a genealogy. But the Spirit of God has designedly omitted these things in the Old Testament. Why did the Hebrew writer that he might be made like unto the Son of God
after his eternal peace and the day of his day?
Some thought and said, taught that Melchizedek was an angel, that Melchizedek was divine.
Melchizedek was a mere man, a fallen son of Adam. Spirit of God brings him in, and the midst certain truths is there for him, that he might be made like unto the Son of God. It is not a Christophany, it is not Christ appearing in human form.
For the Hebrew record, he was made like Christ,
and he was made like Christ, he could not be.
So here with the foreshadowing of the coming King Priest,
and a priest shall sit.
A kingly crown upon a priestly head,
but a priestly man upon a king's throne.
Who is this king?
Well, the remains of the little gentleman tells me who he is.
He is the son of the father, as seen in Isaac.
the heavenly mind through his head and heels. He is the seed through whom all nations shall be blessed. You remember God's promise to Abraham? I will make thy seed to be as the stars of the heaven for multitudes, as the sand of the seashore for multitudes. Thy seed shall possess the king of his enemies. So even with these stars of heaven for multitudes, stand at the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gates of the dead. The natural seed, the spiritual seed, and the personal seed. One thing in God's heart, the Lord is speaking to a Jewish company. They say, we be Abraham's seed. So they were. They were not Abraham's children, but they were Abraham's. The natural seed. To Paul and write to the Galatians, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You would like them. That's the heaven. The spiritual. Then he goes on to see in Galatians, and he says, seek, not seek as the king, but seek which is one. Who is this coming king? He is the son of the Father who is dead time from the altar, but through whom all nations yet should be blessed. Not only so, he is the servant as seen in Jacob, the towering man of death, the cross by night, the sun by day. And Jacob paints the same Christ for Rachel as he did for Leah, though he had a peculiar love for Rachel. I think that John 11, Kyle speaking, God gives the list of that ungodly man in a prophet. Is it expedient that one man should die for the nation? That's Leah. And what we say here, Israel is the only nation for whom Christ died. Israel is the only nation for whom Christ died. Grace is taking out of the nation the people for themselves. That one man should die for the nation, not for that nation only, but that he might gather together in one all the children of God that have traveled across. That not Rachel, is that not the answer? He is the son of seed in Israel. He is the servant as seen in Jacob. He is the coming ruler as seen in Joseph. All my glory. Did you ever notice that from the moment Joseph led Abraham to the place of fellowship with his father, it was a downward journey. Down to Jordan, down into the sea, down into Egypt, down into the dungeon. Why is the Sabbath whose feet they must have taken, whose soul came into Ireland until the Lord possessed the whole earth, and now he is the highest pinnacle of Egypt on the right hand of Pharaoh the king. You know that? Philippians 2. He who being in the form of God, any room must be accountable. He was equal with God high, and he could have gone down, down, down he came, until God protected. Well, but God also applied his will to him. Did you ever notice that we are not told in Philippians 2 the depth to which the Savior went? Neither are we told the height into which he has gone. Simply that God applied his will to him. I have learned great to learn this Father of principalities and powers and might of the I have learned great to learn that it's on the right hand of the majesty of heaven. But the depth is unknown for the and the height of God. I exalted him and given him a name. That name is the name of the Lord.
Give him a name which is above every name.
The name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. And every tongue confess that he is Lord. To go above the Father's glory.
Not simply a time submission of the power of the knee, but a verbal acknowledgement of the Lord of Christ.
Where is this distress and delegation in Colossians 1? It is with it. Things in heaven, things in the earth.
Where is this lordship? It is unlimited.
Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth.
There is that under the earth and those under the earth who will acknowledge his lordship. We need no coach. We move in the book of the law and we come into the book of Numbers.
Veil is before us. That wicked man who hated the people of God.
And he's standing on the 10th month. Two men to do this month. Moses to do it. Moses, a man who loved the people of God. Moses from Pisgah Mount, he saw the land that the people did it.
Balaam from Pisgah Mount, he saw the people who would inherit the land.
He had a constant appetite for gold,
and for first Luca, he was prepared to damnation. But he learned this, that the God who could command and control the mouth of the ass could command and control the mouth of the ass master. God held that into his mouth.
And God turned the cursing into blessing.
Through pardon, I shall see him, but not him. I shall behold him, but not now.
Who is he speaking to?
He's speaking to the coming. They shall come out of Jacob, up and down, and ascend out of Israel.
Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion.
A star of Jacob, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Ascend out of Israel, the son of David.
He shall have dominion. Yes, he comes. He comes.
I have set my king upon Zion,
the hill of my now he comes. And look at that gathering sun. Why do the heathen church?
It's the amalgamation of the nations against Jehovah and his anointed.
But that he gives such a greater name in heaven at the divine time.
On earth, what then according to?
In heaven, he is sitting in the heavenly I am my king of Zion, the hill of mine.
Did you understand?
When the Spirit of God uses Psalm 2 in the church prayer meeting at Jerusalem, it is used in the past tense.
Those intelligent states in Acts 4, as they are gathered together in the ascended prayer meeting, they say, why did the heathen preach? And the people imagine a different. The kings of the earth took counsel and the rulers to counsel together again, thy anointed. For of a truth, again thy holy servant, not thy holy child.
Nowhere in God's book is he ever spoken of as the child of God.
What the Spirit of God has before him in the end of chapters of Acts
is the servant of Isaiah's prophecy.
Thy servant.
Now it's used in the past tense because there was at the cross
the representation of all the covenants and good.
The heathen raged, the people imagined obedience. The kings of the earth take themselves and the rulers take counsel to them. Now it is those intelligent times. Forwardly, against thy holy servant Jesus, both Herod, the king, and Pilate, the ruler, with the nations, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, have a desire to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel together should come to pass. The law and the star and the trumpet. 7.5 centuries before the king was born in Bethlehem, Isaiah the prophet speaks, to my heart has been a king. My heart has been the prophet foretold that he must be born of a virgin. So he is. But what he landed caused the prophet. And the prophet foretold his humiliation, his suffering, his crucifixion. But they looked beyond all that and they saw a king coming. Have you read some idea of what a wonderful little child? It's a symposium of all the prophets, major and minor, have to say of the coming kingdom of Christ. For all the ever is coming to Jerusalem in Isaiah. The coming king and the coming king. The subjugation of the enemy, the overthrow of the Antichrist. The ferocity of Hannibal kingdom being subdued, the regathering of Israel and Judah, and his blessing upon the Gentiles. There we have it in a nutshell. What a dawning light of prophecy, as the Spirit of God unfolds through steps from the law and the prophets and the psalms, the things who tell in the coming king and of whose feet all things shall be executed. Now, we arrive at Matthew 1. I want to emphasize and be perfectly that when we come to Matthew 1, the kingdom foretold in the Old Testament is presented unmodified in any way. What had the prophet told us? There was a coming king. There was a coming king. Now the moment has come for the king to do. What a wonderful thing. The four Gospels find their roots in the Old Testament. Matthew finds his roots in the first half of Isaiah's Gospel. What is the subject? Emmanuel, Emmanuel's land, Emmanuel's people. What is the subject of Matthew? Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And only in Matthew you will read of the land of Israel. When we come to that, he aligns himself with the second half of Isaiah's prophecy. What is the subject? Jehovah's testimony. Behold my servant whom I hold, my elect in whom my soul rejoices. We come to Mark's gospel. No genealogy, no human life, but chapter 1 presents the Jehovah's servant coming forth. Just it, ready for service. Luke finds his roots in the prophecy of Jeremiah, as he unfolds to us the foundation of the new covenant, the flesh of God's Christ. John, of course, finds his roots in Ezekiel. I'm thinking Ezekiel 37:13. Can these bones live? Through the energy of the Spirit of God and the work of God, divine life. John Hebrews, set the man before and water. For the benefit of everyone today, the water in John 3 is not baptism. It is the word of God. Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, then shall he a continuous action.
Having been born again,
not corrupted,
but incorruptible by the living and the finding partnership of God. So we come to Matthew 1. The king is about to be born.
What king? The kingdom we heard of in the book of Genesis. And the kingdom that God has determined shall be established.
And drawn near. Consequently, when we move into the Matthew's gospel, we'll find the kingdom words and kingdom ideas. We think of chapter 2.
Where is he that is born to redeem the race?
Where is he that is born in the king of Israel?
Where is he?
The wonderful temple that is born in the Son of Man.
King of the Jews?
He is the Son of Israel.
We have seen his star in the east.
He is the Son of Israel.
And that how you worship him?
He is the Son of God. Worthy, O Lamb of God. So in chapter 1, we have his genealogy.
Have you ever read that genealogy?
No, you say it's just a mass of names I can get that word. Wonderful chapter.
You know, in that chapter,
we see the grace of God and we see the government of God.
The grace of God is instead set in women's names.
And the government of God that will live death in men's names.
You know, there are four women mentioned
in this genealogy, and in all probabilities, they were all Gentiles. And every one had a blood. Every one had a blood.
And not a Jew would have brought those four women into the genealogy of Matthew. Women of God, they will not.
But if the Lord takes their rules over, they will applaud to the sin of the future. Those four women, one was a harlot, one played the harlot, one was an adulterer. Yet in this chapter is the genealogy of the death of the day.
Since you're all taken before, who can bring a clean man out of the unclean?
The right to answer is not one. The fountain head is corrupt, and all the issues from that fountain head will be equally corrupt.
But Matthew 1 is God's answer.
God's
answer. All that thing of corrupt humanity,
God brings forth a hateful man. The only king and chief of the human life. Bless his only word.
He knew her not!
These things you praise tonight to fulfill what you have spoken by the gospel. And their son shall conceive and bear a son. You call his name in mind. Being tested, God's will.
So the king is not. Kingdom ideas. John the Baptist comes forth. Repent!
Kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Chapter 4, the Lord moves into ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Chapter 10, he calls 12 and he sends them forth. Go not in the way of the Gentiles. And did you listen to the Samaritan mentioned, you know? But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And did you go, preach?
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and mercy of the sick.
No.
As you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. King is born. Chapter 1, the genealogy of the king. Chapter 2, the birth of the king. Chapter 3, the baptism of the king. Chapter 4, the temptation of the king.
Chapter 5 to 7, the righteous character of the kingdom. chapter 3, 9 and 10, the power of the kingdom. What wonderful chapter. Israel could have sung in these chapters, who healeth all thy iniquity? Who forgiveth all thy iniquity? Who healeth all thy sins? Blessed are they, dead of healing, blind of seeing. Why is in this section of Mark writing that we have fulfilled the divine idea of 53 and sailed to cover the purposes and be those statements?
The king is born, the king is present, the king is presented.
Is the nation in history? Are the leaders of the nation following us? What a change in chapter 11. That he began to operate in cities wherein most of his mighty ones were done.
He has rejected Tom's ministry. He came lamenting and bemoaning
not. He rejected Christ's ministry. He came angry and the answer not. They have no ease for the warnings of divine judgment, nor for the news of divine grace.
A crisis is about to be reached. They have no room for this king. We have no king but Jesus.
In chapter 12, a crisis reached, at which we will die.